Hey guys, this is Joe. Today I want to introduce you to our partner Vanta. Achieving ISO 27001 or SOC 2 compliance can unlock major growth for your company and build customer trust, but the process can be time intense and costly. Vanta automates compliance, getting you audit ready quickly and saving up to 85% of associated costs. And Vanta scales with your business, helping you enter new markets. Join 7,000 global companies like Atlassian, Flow Health, and Quora that trust Vanta. Claim 20% off Vanta at vanta.com/startupradio. That's vanta.com, spelled vanta.com/startupradio.
Welcome to startuprad.io, your podcast and YouTube blog covering the German startup scene with news, interviews, and live events.
Hello and welcome, everybody. This is Joe from StartupRadio.io, your startup podcast, YouTube blog, and internet radio station covering the German-speaking startup scene. Today, we do have an update for you, which took quite a while. We do have Florian again here in an interview 1,336 days after the publication of the old interview. We are doing an update on the new fundraising. Hey, Florian, how are you doing?
Hey, Joe, thanks for inviting me. I'm doing very well. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. Thank you. Actually, you guys have been the first interview in our sub-podcast, Tech Startups Germany, that is sponsored by Hessen Trade and Invest via the brand European Enterprise Network. We published the interview towards the end of November 2019. And time flies, but actually, do you know what I realized when I did some digging for our interview? It's still the highest ranked interview if you Google ThinkSurance podcast interview.
Nice. Congrats. That's probably because of the good moderator.
Thank you very much. Given thanks to our enablers, this recording is supported by Hessen Trade Invest and the European Enterprise Network Hessen. This recording was made possible by HTAI and the Enterprise Europe Network Hessen. These organizations have made tremendous contribution to helping startup businesses succeed and thrive, providing a range of services from helping to find grants to ongoing partnerships. By taking advantage of these resources, startup companies can network and develop innovative strategies for success on the international stage. The dedicated support of HTII and the Enterprise Europe Network Hessen is paramount in providing startup businesses with the tools for lasting success. Look for our dedicated sub-podcast in partnership with them, Tech Startups Germany, or click the link of our link tree, linktree.ee/startupradio, one word, and startupraven.com, the best way to identify investors and cooperation partners for early stage startups. You can sign up for early access at startupraven.com.
Wow, now, that was a long intro.
Now that we have this out of the way, last time you said after you've left McKinsey and started the company with two co-founders, I do believe, you've been talking about don't tell too early you're doing insurance. I tell them we are a tech company. Are you still doing this today?
Yes, even though I have to say by now I can properly spell insurance without any mistake. Which took me now almost 8 years. No, just kidding. In the end, we are a tech company and we love the insurance space just because it's so digital, it's so data driven. So, I mean, it's the product itself is just digital and just, yeah, the best you can actually get for a digitization. The industry itself is a little bit strange, just because everything takes so long, everything is so old-fashioned, etc. But to do tech with this kind of digital product, and then I can ignore that we're an old-fashioned industry.
Yeah, we may tell our audience who doesn't have any touch points with insurance, basically they're calculating a probability that something happens based on the data and then calculate a premium to ensure if X people are doing this, one will be hit and we need Y to cover all of that. Very, very simplified. Every actuary, if you have some hate mail to meet Joe at startuprate.io.
Yeah, that's true. But in the end, I mean, maybe Joe, just one sentence to it. One thing that I like, and I would love to get like a vote from the audience, even though I know we cannot get it. But if you actually think about the insurance industry or the concept of insurance, is actually something very, very nice. You create a community of people putting money into one pot and say, whoever needs it gets from the community the money. Yeah, and then over time, everyone gets what they paid in, they get paid out. So that's actually the idea of insurance, is a very, very noble one, a very, very nice humanity helping idea. I think seeing your smile, I think most people don't think about this this altruistic mindset when thinking about insurance. And this is what we're also here for, to change.
Mm-hmm. You personally have been elected as to one of the top 25 financial technology CEOs. You also got awards from CEO Today magazine and received the CEO Global Award. Congratulations. In addition to that, now we get to the main reason we are here. You announced just a few weeks ago that you have raised 22 million euros in Series B funding. Congratulations, by the way. Your investors include Viewpoint Ventures, MTech Capital, with participation from Zegenia Capital, Eight Road Ventures, and Columbia Lake Partners. That is pretty good news. How long did it take you? And can you tell us why those investors invested in you? I would assume two things. They trust in the business model and they trust in the leadership team.
I hope so. I think overall we're in a pretty good space. I mean, the question also comes from the downturn that we see in the overall macroeconomy, and also how the tech system overall is just falling apart at the moment. The smart investors just look a little bit deeper into like the macroeconomic trends. They just look at, okay, which industries are still like doing well, which business is like continuously growing, not just because of the current consumer trend, but because things are like macroeconomically changing. And this is something like AI, as everyone knows at the moment, but also insurtech. Because in the end, what you see, you have a huge industry, which is just by design, which is a good thing, is not where crisis is not as relevant, because in the end, if the insurers would fall apart in a crisis, then this is just against the core concept of being there when someone needs you. And therefore, you have a very, very stable industry, and you have a high demand for digitalization. And if you look at just across all other industries in the world, digitalization is something that always happened. The trend to just update old legacy systems, etc., is something that that is still something that will drive growth in the next 10, 20, 30 years. And this is something that the smart investors just look at and find it interesting. And if you then zoom in into this insurtech space and say, all right, who's doing something like this? Then you forget a little bit about the neo insurer and the direct to consumer businesses, but you look into the B2B vertical software enabling models, which is something that we have. And therefore, I must say, no, it was not easy to get a fundraising, but if you want to be so it really helps if you're in a very good space. And it also helps, of course, if your business is doing well. Both of it green check mark, and this is what helped us get the funding. And it took me from the first time that we talked to them to the signing, I would say February to June.
That is pretty fast for 22 million. You also stated in one of the releases, one of the articles I've seen there, that you could significantly increase your valuation in the round. Can you give us an idea here?
I can say that we managed to have more than what would I say? We almost almost doubled the valuation, which is good. And yeah, I think by now I would be a really, really rich man if this was not just on paper. but this is not what it's all about. But since you asked about valuation, this is what I can say.
Mm-hmm. For Series B investment, the rule of thumb has been $10 million annual recurring revenue. When did you pass this magical threshold?
Yeah. So when you look at this, when you look at this number, this rule of thumb, in the end, it is a metric that basically is used to say, all right, this company has a certain size, has a certain scale, has a certain product market fit, acceptance in the market, and so on. And this is something that can be measured in different ways. So if you would ask me like all of the different parts of it, then I would say some of them we managed to get earlier, some of them later, but I think it all came together quite nicely in March this year, when we also then talked about this, when we talked to investors. And then if you have a very good capital efficient growth, when you have a very good strategic positioning in a very good market, good customers, good retention rates, etc., then this is when it becomes really like ticking a lot of boxes to also get a funding like this.
Mm-hmm. When I've been looking at what you've been doing with your fundraising since, one of the things that came to mind is that you expanded to Paris, covering the French market from there. I do believe it was a little bit before your Series B fundraising, but you'll use the money to expand there.
Yeah, so this is interesting that this is always stuck in people's mind, because obviously they like Paris, and I like Paris as well, and it's a great city. But most of our money actually went into the rebuild of our full platform. Yeah, and so this is something where I would say I would put more emphasis on it, is to say, hey, we basically sliced down our monolith into microservices, which is, if you come from a very simple, we were able to just get a new generation of tech stack. And this basically did consume most of our money. And yes, we did also start a small team in France. We had the first contracts, first partners there, etc. But I would say the overarching theme of what we did is really bring our tech to the next level, to scale it across sales channels, scale it across countries, scale it across languages. And this has been the core of what we've been doing with the money.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I see. So most of the money went into a better, newer tech stack. Do you have any? Oh, first, of course, Paris. You said you love Paris. I strongly recommend it. Towards end of November and December before Christmas, do you have any other tips for people who would like to visit Paris? Personally, I have to tell you, I found it during the hottest time of the year quite stressful. So I would recommend either spring, fall, or pre-Christmas time.
Yeah, so I can agree. I think what I like, I mean, I even would say Paris in summer is actually quite nice as well. I mean, you have a lot of like these small cafes, bistro, etc., which is quite nice. I'm also a big fan of the Chouchou Hotel, which is very, very central in Paris, which has an amazing room service, etc. This is what I like. A lot of nice cafes and restaurants that I could give you a full list. Maybe we just tag them on the podcast.
Do you have any other plans what you'll be doing with the fundraising? So you have a geographical expansion. You also do have an expansion in terms of tech stack, the ability to slice it down into microservices. Any other plans?
Yeah. So, I mean, when you build a company, in the end, what you want to do is you always want to grow your business. You always want to just come closer to the vision. And the vision that we have is, I mean, we've created a technology platform that basically connects all kinds of insurance carriers and all kinds of insurance distributors and then the customer itself. And in the end, when you think about that, you have such a high complexity of just bringing all of them together. And this is where our vision is to really just make like seamless processes between all of them, which is enabled by the tech stack. So this was the prerequisite. And what we're doing now is we're basically using that to scale across the sales channels. What do I mean by that? And which is also what we use the money for. We've signed the largest tied agent organization in Europe. We've signed the largest broker in Europe. We signed the in Germany. We signed the largest broker pool in Germany. We signed a couple of banks. We signed the largest online direct player. So we basically have all the largest players of all the different sales channels. And now it's really making sure that we just penetrate them more deeply, that we work with them together to solve their issues, because there's a lot to do. There's a lot of digitalization work to be done. And this is what we will use the money and the time for.
Mm-hmm. You actually started out originally as Gewerbeversicherung 24, so meaning Trade Insurance 24. Then you developed into B2B platform. That is the last time we've been talking, where you helped the independent financial advisors, the IFAs, to connect with the insurance companies to get their B2B insurance there on the platform. Can you take us along the journey, what you've been doing since? Because I realized you now have three products on offer.
Yeah. So, yes, we basically did a lot of expanding across these different distributors. So the IFAs that you have, but I mean, there are a lot of different people selling or consulting on insurances. And what we said is, let's take a step back and look how we can help this industry the most. And this is when we said, hey, we need to basically start and tackle the consultation process itself. And in the end, it doesn't matter if this person that is consulting on commercial insurance is only selling one insurance product, so Allianz or only Zurich or only AXA, whatever, or is basically consulting all of the different possible solutions in the market. And in the end, we said we want to enable them all. We want to give the most value to them and to the customer, and then, of course, to the insurer. And this can be done by just focusing really, really on the consultation process. And this is when, because you also mentioned the different products, this is what the advisory suite itself is all about. It's really make sure that this whole consultation process of, I have a customer, he starts an online podcast agency. Just imagine that crazy thing that someone could do. And then you need some insurance. So you would go to some broker or whoever, and ask him, what do I actually need? And this is where you would already log into our platform and really start to get this consultation process going, connection to the insurer, get the right pricing, etc. This is all what we would do with our core offering of connecting all of these parties.
Mm-hmm. We may add, for the benefit of our audience, that B2B insurance is a completely different game than actually insurance for people, like life and health insurance, because the needs of like a little store in the city versus a place that sells cars, car dealership versus a big industrial site, they are massively different. So the consulting process is very important there.
Yes, it's definitely true. That's why they need us.
I see. So now you have three products, according to your website. Can you tell us a little bit about them? One of them is the advisory suite. I would assume that is the consultation process.
Yeah. So this is the core consultation process. The Consult Direct is the second one, which is mainly the use of this consultation process or this end-to-end process on various different use cases. So, for example, you would put on your website our end-to-end process to sell a special product you've created with Allianz, for example. Yeah, and this is the possibility where you can get basically our end-to-end process and put it in there. This can be an embedded insurance. So we have with one banking partner where they have used our platform or at least a part of it as a snippet included in their online banking tool. Some insurance carriers use it for their own broker portal or for their agents or whatever. So there are a lot of various use cases which don't have like the core process of I am a distributor, an insurance broker, and I consult the customer fully, but rather like I have a one-to-one end-to-end process that I want to use on various different use cases. And the third one is the data suite. This is where we use basically all the market data that we have seen, that we've created from the different products, from the different market demands and needs. Because one core problem that this industry also has is that no one has any transparency. And this is not only for the customer problem, because customers don't know, is my broker or whatever giving me the best price, or is it the right thing, what I actually need, etc. But it's also for the insurer. So the insurance carrier who should actually create a targeted product, a product that's actually used by or needed by their customers, but they don't know what they actually need, because they always have an intermediary in between, can be broker, they don't give feedback, or even if it's a tied agent, everything happens offline. And as you know, to create data from like offline processes like pen and paper or email or whatsoever is just a huge problem. But if you have everything in a platform, then you can aggregate this data and use it for product development, for market, for marketing, for market observations, etc. And this is what this third part is all about. I would say that we have by far the best database of market data in the B2B commercial insurance space in Germany.
I would think that is a big treasure trove there. I've seen not only does this provide product market fit, but also you help them with the visibility as well as the pricing. And the pricing, I do believe that is a big thing for the insurance companies. If they know they can get even higher with the premiums, which will improve their bottom line and make them even more stable in the long term.
Yeah, or in the end, be more differentiative, right? Because in the end, there's no such thing as a bad risk. There's just a badly priced risk. Yeah. So in the end, if someone would give me, if you would give me 50 billion euro, I would insure you almost anything, right? I mean, it's just a matter of the price, how much I'm willing to value the risk. Yeah, and this is what it's all about for us, to really make sure that good and bad risks are good, or that the pricing for the risks are better differentiated, and there's more transparency in it. And this is what it's all about. Also, what the data for us does is that the customers that behave well, that don't have any claims and don't do any fraud and so on, that they get better pricings over time. And for the ones that are creating claims, that are just careless about their business, etc., that they need to pay more, which I think is just fair enough.
Mm-hmm. You have a claim on your website that tens of thousands of IFAs are already using your advisory suite. I found in an article 50,000 users. Can you be a little bit more specific there in terms of the users?
Yeah. So, The specific user is a very interesting definition for us, because in the end, if you would look at it, someone like Check24, which is an online direct channel, or the largest one in Germany, or if you would look at Ecclesia, which is the largest insurance broker, in the end, there would be kind of like one user, even though they're very, very different. But if you look at a broker pool that has a lot of like single brokers working with them, like a broker association, then you get to a high number, but they're not really comparable. But in the end, yes, we have more than 50,000, maybe 60 by now. I would need to check, but pretty sure that this has gone up quite a bit since we onboard a couple of these large associations and brokers. I would say the main thing is that our market coverage or relevance has just increased so much by signing all of these large or the largest players of each sales channel that this is the relevance that we needed for our platform to create the network effects that help everyone.
Mm-hmm. In our last interview back in fall of 2019, you've shared advice when I ask you for advice for fundraising new entrepreneurs that you should first build investor contact as much as possible before you actually going to pitch them. It doesn't force you there. You already know the person. You already can tell them, look, this is what I'm doing. This is what I want to achieve. Does this still hold true? And do you have any more advice 1,336 days later?
I would say it still holds true. Just keep your contacts fresh and ready, but focus. This is probably one thing that I would add as well. Focus on the right investors that have the same thesis. Yeah. And in the end, it's all about, underlying market trends, especially when you come a little bit, when you come into a market like it is right now, as you can see, the valuations for AI startups are still like on peak levels, just because everyone understands that there's a market trend behind it, which is like the industrialization or the digitalization, which is just huge. So people understand this is going to be super important, and this is why they continue to invest. If you find the right investors, then they will understand that, and then they will follow up with you. And then you find a lot of investors out there which are just like following everyone to see and try to shoot a good value deal. But in the end, they're not helping you. They're not believing in the model just because of the model. They're just like opportunistic. And in the end, you probably need at some point opportunistic investors, but you would also need the ones that really believe in the long-term vision of what you build and what the market is all about, because those are the ones that help you even in trouble sometimes. And not only when everything is sunny and so on.
Mm-hmm. Great that you've already talked about investors, because before the round, are you open to talk to new investors?
I also listen to my own advices. I continuously have the relationships with investors. I mean that investors just change because you get to a certain size, you change the interest of what you want to do. You always just need to make sure that you have the right investor with the right profile and the right mindset. And for us, it's all about now growing, scaling, maybe at some point in time, even some buy and build. Yeah, so we get to a point where profitability is near. So this just opens up in a whole new world of possibilities and interest from insurers, especially in the space that we are in, just because vertical software is just super interesting for people, but especially vertical software in the B2B insurance space, this is of high interest.
Mm-hmm. How many employees do you have right now, and are you looking to hire new ones?
Yes, we have more than 100, I would say 110 ish around, and we're always looking to find the right people. So in the end, what we're trying to do is to offer people that want to have a combination of, hey, I want a startup where things are going like fast and I get responsibility fast. I have young people around me that help me develop, etc. on the one hand side, but on the other side, also the feeling of, hey, I'm in an environment where people have a lot of trust and not this hire and fire mentality. Even in the downturns that has happened, we've been staying strong to keep the culture and to just be fair to everyone. We didn't have the big layoff wave or whatever. So we really made sure that there's a continuous, that culture also counts in times when things are a little bit more rough. and not only in the sunny times. And I think this is what our team values, and this is what I stand for as CEO of this company. And therefore, yes, we're always open across all different dimensions or positions. Qualified people with the right mindset, always interested to join.
That sounds pretty good. And I will share down here in the show notes your career website so people can learn more about it. Just have to make sure it's in English, because apparently your company works in German, English, and French. Before we close in our interview in 2019, I had a strange idea and ask you if there is an insurance against industrial sites getting destroyed by aliens. You said we don't have it on the platform yet. Do you have it now, or should we check back in another 1,000 days?
I think we need another 1,336 days, even though I'm not sure we might want to add an extra zero to it. But in times like these, we don't know. I mean, when you see all the AI progress that we're making, then people start to think about the movies Terminator again. And then they might want to get an insurance coverage against the machines destroying the industrial site. So it might not even be that far away. Probably some insurer has already started and owned coverage for it, but I don't know, not yet on the platform. But to all the insurers listening, if you want to put your alien versus industrial sites policy on our platform, please reach out to me.
Great. Awesome closing words, Florian. Thank you very much. It was a pleasure having you as a guest again.
Thanks, Joe. It was great.
Have a good day. Bye-bye.
You too. Bye.
That's all, folks. Find more news, streams, events, and interviews at www.startuprad.io. Remember, sharing is caring.